If you have your Bibles tonight, we'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Hebrews. We'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We began studying this morning about the word consider, especially looking at what the Word of God says about considering the works of God. Considering the works of God. We looked at the fact that the Bible tells us that in the day of adversity, we are to consider. The Bible also tells us that we're to consider the ravens, we're to consider the lilies of the valley, we're to consider, David said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. He began to think about what is man that thou art mindful of him. And I think the same feeling would come across any child of God, that as you look up at the heavens and you really begin to consider the heavens and the vastness of God's creation in the heavens, that you would have to recognize and realize and feel how small you are. The Word of God says that we're to consider that. We're to consider the testimonies of God. Psalm 119 and verse 95 says that we are to consider or to meditate, to look upon and to think about the testimonies of God. We're to think about the Word of God. We're to dwell on the Word of God. We're to meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that Samuel told the children of Israel, consider how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Brother John in his prayer mentioned that we need to consider, and even today and all during our lives this past week, just consider. Have you considered what God has done for you during this past week? Consider God's wondrous works in your life during this past week. Think about it. Dwell on it. It's important that we spend time considering the wondrous works of God. Elihu told Job, in the middle of all that Job was going through, Elihu told Job to stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Then he began to enumerate some of the wondrous works that God performed in and performs in nature all around us. God sometimes condemns his people and says that they do not consider. And I wonder how many of us would fall into that category. I know that I would often fall into that category where God says, my people doth not consider. If we're not considering, if we're not taking the time, and I believe that we need to do that every day, I think every day we need to take time and just meditate and think about God, that we need to draw nigh to God, we need to consider the wondrous works of God. We need to consider the things that God has done for us. Consider how great things God has done for us. Now, there are some other things that the Word of God tells us to consider. And Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us something else that we are to consider. The Word of God says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Just consider Jesus. Just think about Jesus. Whenever I consider Jesus, I suppose that one of the most marvelous things that I consider about Jesus is that he left the portals of heaven and came down into this world. That though he was rich and though he was in a place that is perfect and holy, Jesus left the portals of heaven and came down and lived here in this world. And he took upon him the form of flesh, and he lived as a man here upon the earth, and he lived an absolutely perfect life. But one of the things that this verse says is, consider the apostle Christ Jesus. Now, the word apostle means that it's someone who is preaching the gospel. There are three main criteria, if I understand what an apostle is. One is that an apostle is one who is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second thing is that an apostle is someone that God has chosen not only to preach the gospel of Christ, but someone that God has chosen and God has given the apostles the power to perform miracles and The apostles were given that power, and Jesus Christ had that power, and he is the greatest apostle of them all. He is the only perfect apostle. And then the third thing is that the apostles were all given a work to do. They were given a specific work to do. And Jesus, as our great apostle, we're to consider the apostle Christ Jesus. And as our great apostle, he came into the world for many different works. God gave him many different works to do. But one of the greatest and the greatest work of all is to save his people from their sins. So Jesus, consider the apostle. Consider that the apostle came into this world. Consider that he preached the gospel like no one else had ever preached the gospel. Consider how he preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and laid that out and set it forth in such a marvelous and a beautiful way. Consider that he established the church as the apostle. He established the church, and consider all the other things in healing people that he did as the apostle, and consider most of all how he saved his people from their sins. Consider the apostle. How often do you consider the apostle? And that's what the Word of God here, that's what the Apostle Paul, if he wrote the book of Hebrews, that's what he's telling the Jews to do. The Hebrews, he says, consider the apostle and high priest. Jesus is not only our apostle or the apostle and the perfect apostle, but Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is the high priest. He is better than any high priest that has ever lived. In fact, in chapter 4 of Hebrews, the Word of God says that our high priest is better than those other high priests they had under the law. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, we're talking about the fact that we are to consider our high priest. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Those other high priests, did they just pass into the heavens? Did they ever do that? No, that's not what they did. But we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Body, soul, and spirit. Jesus Christ has passed into the heavens. And Jesus, the Son of God, consider that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Consider the high priest that we have. What was different? Let me just ask you this question. What was different about Jesus as the high priest from all the other high priests? Okay, one of the statements is the very next verse that we haven't read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So that's one thing that was different. This high priest, Jesus Christ, the perfect high priest, our high priest, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, sometimes as we might want to pray for people, and as much as we might empathize and sympathize with people, we are not completely touched with the feeling of their infirmities. We're very limited in what we can do. And all those high priests in the Old Testament, even if they had the greatest high priest a human being could be, none of those high priests were ever touched like Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the Word of God says here that this is something we are to consider. We're to consider the apostle and high priest. We're to consider that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You have never had a problem. You have never had pain. You have never had affliction. You've never had any kind of trouble but what Jesus was touched. That's the high priest that you need to consider. That's the high priest that you need to think about and meditate upon. And not only does it say he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but then the last part of verse 15, Hebrews 4:15, speaking about our high priest, he says, but he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. None of those other high priests ever were without sin. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, and that's one of the reasons that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and that's one of the reasons that He is able to help you in your temptations is because He was tempted in all points like we are. We need to think about our high priest. We need to think about those high priests of old that when they went and began to go into the temple, what was the first thing that they had to do? What was one of the first things they had to do? Okay, they had to cleanse themselves. They had to wash their hands. They had to cleanse themselves. And then they had to make an offering for their own sins. Jesus is a different high priest from that. He didn't have to cleanse himself. He didn't have to make an offering for his sins. Our high priest entered into the holiest of all. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, never committed any sin. And we need to think about our high priest. We need to think about how wonderful it is to have a high priest that right now is making intercession for us. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Think about Jesus in those two offices as the apostle and as the high priest. Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 12, again, the Word of God tells us that we need to consider more about Jesus. Not are we only to consider that He is the apostle and high priest. Not only are we to consider that He is our Savior. Not only are we to consider that He is our mediator. We are taught in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 that we need to consider the sufferings of Christ Jesus. I don't like to think about anybody suffering. I don't like to think about Jesus' sufferings. But the Bible says that we need to consider the sufferings of Christ. We're to remember His sufferings. That's the purpose of the communion service, is to remember His sufferings. To remember His body was broken for our sins. To remember that His blood was shed for our sins. That's considering Christ Jesus. This do, He says, this do in remembrance of me. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, the Word of God says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Brethren, if you are weak and weary and faint in your minds, if you think that your burden is too heavy, if you think that the sufferings that you have in your life are too heavy, it's because you have not considered the sufferings of Christ Jesus. I believe with all of my heart that when we consider the sufferings of Christ, when we will dwell on and think about and meditate on the sufferings of Jesus, it relieves us of feeling like our sufferings are so great. Sometimes when I have people with me and take them around to visit with people that have great afflictions and trouble, sometimes when people call me about their problems, I will share them with them someone who has a much greater problem, but then I will remind them that Jesus Christ suffered more than they have ever suffered. And that's what Hebrews 12:3 tells us to do. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. You will get tired, you will get weary, and you will get faint in your mind when you suffer if you don't consider His sufferings. Matthew chapter 21, back up just a moment in your Bibles. To Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, the Word of God tells us here another marvelous work of God. And that's what we're looking at today, is to consider the wondrous works of God. Consider the works of God. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, the Word of God tells us some things that people did to Jesus. And then it tells us what God did. In Matthew 21, verse 42, I want you to see the wondrous work that's described here. I want you to consider the wondrous work of God that's described in Matthew 21 and verse 42. The Word of God says, "Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner?" Now, do you hear what Jesus is saying there? He's saying it was recorded in the Old Testament, and it was, but Jesus is reminding them, have you forgotten, have you never read that the stone which the builders rejected, the same stone is now the chief cornerstone? Now that's a, well, look at the next statement after that. This is the Lord's doing. What's the Lord's doing? Not that they rejected him, but that the stone that they rejected, that he became the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Have you ever just sat around and considered and thought about what a marvelous thing it is that one that the people despised, the one that Peter said, that same Lord that you crucified, have you ever considered that God made him both Lord and Christ? I want you to know that Jesus right now today is the chief cornerstone. I want you to know that not he's going to be one day. I don't want you to think that one day he's going to reign. I want you to know Jesus already reigns right now. He was despised. He was hated of men. But do you know what God did? God lifted him up. God gave him a name that's above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Consider that stone that was hated of men, that stone became the chief cornerstone. And likewise, the children of God that will follow that chief cornerstone, the children of God that will be followers of Christ, that will be disciples of Christ, those children of God also will be hated and despised of men. Do you know why they will be hated and despised of men? They will be hated and despised of men because as they go around in their lives, they must tell people things that they're doing wrong. And when they tell them that, they are hated and they are despised and they are ridiculed. And when that happens, I want you to know what Jesus is going to do. What's Jesus going to do? Though they're hated of men, they're going to be lifted up by God. Consider what God did to Jesus after the people had despised our Lord and our Savior. God made him the chief cornerstone. Back up in your Bibles to the book of Psalms just a moment. Psalm 40 and verse 5. We're still looking at the Word of God, which says that we're to consider the works of God. We're to consider the wondrous works of God. We're to consider His marvelous works. In Psalm 40 and verse 5, let me just ask you this. How many works of God can you consider? How many marvelous works of God do you need to consider? Remember, and we're going to get to this more in just a moment, but I want you to remember that one of the condemnations that God has from time to time poured out on His people is that my people do not consider. And if we're not considering these things that God's Word tells us to consider, we're going to experience the same judgment that God says, my people doth not consider. Well, what's the reason that we don't consider? Just tell me, why don't we consider these things that the Word of God has told us to consider? Why aren't we considering these things? I think that's probably number one, is we're too busy. We forget how much we need God. We forget what God has done for us. We forget His wondrous works. And we just go about our lives as if we can make it without the Lord. And we cannot make it without the Lord. In Psalm 40, listen please to verse 5. Psalm 40 and verse 5, David makes this statement. He says, many, O Lord my God, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. What's David saying in Psalm 40? He's saying, I cried unto the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. And He came and He lifted me up out of a horrible pit, and He blessed me. And all through my life, David is saying that God has many times lifted me up. Likewise, every one of us could stand here tonight and testify, the Lord has been good to me. The Lord has provided for me. The Lord has lifted us up. The Lord has saved me from my sins. The Lord has been so good to me. Count your many blessings. Well, what does David say here? He says, when I look at all the wondrous works that God has done for me, they are more than can be numbered. I can't count all the wondrous works. But listen, brethren, if I use that as an excuse to not consider His marvelous works, God's going to say to me, I told you to consider. I told you to consider. You know, one of the things that Daddy sometimes would tell me before he would whip me is, I want you to consider a few things. I want you to consider a few things. You remember I told you not to go outside until you had done your homework? Do you remember that I told you that? Do you remember I told you to change your clothes before you went outside to play? Do you remember that? And he would sit there and he would enumerate 1, 2, 3, 4. He would enumerate things that I had done wrong. And I had done those things wrong because I did not consider his commands to be that important. Actually, I just did not think I would get caught. But invariably, when I would go home and some of my friends would say, come on, we can play ball for a little while and you can go in before your daddy comes home. We'd get out there and start playing football or baseball or doing other things. And you know what would happen? I'd fall down and I'd tear my britches. Or I'd scuff them up or I'd do something like that. Or before I knew it, we'd be out there in the yard playing and here would come that little Volkswagen coming down the street. And I would run, and I would grab my books, and I would do everything else, but it was too late. But he would sit me down then and say, I want you to consider a few things. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? Have you ever had a boss that say, I want you to consider a few things? That's what God is telling us in His holy word. You, and God doesn't say, I want. God is telling us. You know, in all the Bible, God never tells you He wants. God, the Bible never says, God wants you to do something. The modern-day theology is this little weak God. He wants you to consider. He wants you to do this. He wants you to do that. God doesn't want you. God requires you to do things. God tells you. God commands you. We're not talking about a little weak God. We're talking about the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And God says, consider, consider my marvelous work. Go with me in closing to the book of Isaiah. Look in Isaiah. First, look in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. He tells us about the animals. He tells us about the ox and the ass. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, God says that the animals have more sense than His people do. The animals pay attention to their master more. You know, my dog is a good dog, pretty good dog. Most of the time, my dog will do what I tell that dog to do. And my dog loves me, if a dog can love. My dog worships me, you understand what I'm saying? My dog comes running up and he just jumps on the fence. And he'll just lick and he just gets all excited. My point is, my dog shows me more honor than I show my Heavenly Father sometimes. And that's what God's saying in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, God had a controversy with His people. In Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Have you ever rebelled against God? Have you ever rebelled against His commandments and just thought, well, I'll just go and do differently? They have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. My people doth not what? My people doth not consider. And then he says in verse 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Do you know why we do that? Do you know why we go away backward? Do you know why we sin? I believe that one of the reasons that we do that is because we do not consider the things God tells us to consider. Isaiah chapter 5, look at verse 12. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 12. Listen to verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 5, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands." They regard not the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. What did we start out with this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13? Consider what? Consider the work of God. I'll read one more verse, if you will. Turn to Jeremiah, and we'll close in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 30. Listen, please, to verses 12 and 13. I want to ask you this question before I read those two verses. Is there anything that God can do that will make you consider? Is there anything God can do that will make you start considering? In Jeremiah chapter 30, listen to verses 23 and 24, the Word of God says, "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until He have done it, until He have performed the intents of His heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it." In other words, when God brings His judgment, guess what we're going to do? We're going to consider it. God's Word says, "My people shall be willing in the day of My power." When God sends forth His chastisement upon His people, they'll be willing to consider, and they will consider. But God's people can be spared of all that chastening if we would just go ahead right now and obey God and consider the work of God. May God help us to do that every day, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.